This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Caps fans, once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And we have officially started the 2022-23 NHL season here in the DMV for all you Caps fans out there. And we're going to do a bit of a schedule change this week. Family stuff coming in that kind of forces do a little bit of altering. It's Saturday, the 15th today of October. It's a game on tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. So we're going to do a little bit of adjusting here. So we're going to cover the first two games, posting the first episode. With me, as always, to help things along, to cover that, is the one and only Mermaid, live to tape from beautiful Centerville, Virginia. It is the Mermaid Anna Knox.
Yes, definitely beautiful today.
Yeah, gorgeous fall day.
Love it.
Staring out the window, nice and cool, but not overbearingly so. And just that nice fall crispness in the air. It's definitely time for hockey here in the good old DMV.
Definitely. I'm ready.
Yep, we're ready, but unfortunately, our Washington Capitals did not seem to be ready. So two games already in the books, and everybody knows it's already 0-2. Not exactly a good start to the season. Let's go ahead and jump right into the on-ice action. Okay, so the first game was at home, of course, against the Boston Bruins. And we all saw it's a 5-2 loss live on the national broadcast, TNT. What can you say? I think it was two halves of the same coin. The Bruins really came ready to play. David Pastrnak is, he's in the middle of contract negotiations, so he's breathing fire, and he showed he was ready to play. He had David Krejci back, and I think that was a big help for him. And on the other side of that same coin, I think you and I were just talking about this. The Caps just didn't look ready to play.
No, they didn't. I don't know if we just need to move away from Boston being our first game every season. So, in the past we've had some really amazing opening nights, and I don't know. I think I expected more and was a little disappointed, but I think I just felt like, they just, for being a home game, I was hoping that they had the energy the Bruins did. We just fell flat.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad, pretty slow start to the game. Caps gave up a power play. Bergeron opened the scoring with the power play goal. Pastrnak and Krejci on the assists, as I said. And then Pastrnak got his goal 8 minutes later, making it 2-0. Second period, Taylor Hall made it 3-0. That would be the winner. Then the Caps kind of woke up after that. Mantha, Stroman, Gustafsson on the assists. That's a first point by a Gustafsson in the Cap in a DC in a long, long time. Older fans will appreciate that reference. And then about 5 minutes later, Connor Sherry made it 3-2. Nick Doubt on the assist for that one. And then third period that just kind of fell down again. Czechia line led by Krejci and Pastrnak. As Pastrnak third assist on Krejci's goal. And then, Bruins just ran away with it at that point. Hampus Lindholm with the empty netter to ice it. And, I don't know, not a good look. Caps just seemed a bit off, step behind. Bruins came ready to play, glass half full, glass half empty, however you want to look at it. But end of the day, it was still a loss. I mean, it's just, you know, just wasn't the start you wanted. You could say the Bruins were more ready, but at the same time, the Caps were less ready. Caps still managed to put 35 shots on goal, so you know there was that. But I think the better quality chances overall were with the Bruins. Of course, David Pastrnak, far and away the first star of the game, 1 goal, 3 assists. But nice to see Mantha and the middle tier, get in there. They had a decent second period, but I don't know. I just, the slow start doomed them. The lack of power play doomed them, and that more on that in a minute. And it's just, I don't know, just what wasn't a good look. I mean, on paper, some of the things not so bad. 12 shots in the first period, double-digit shots each period. So they had
production. Which is good.
Yeah, just good. Always good. So they had production. It's just, I don't know, just seemed like the Bruins were always a step ahead. And, yeah, they were the ones. They just had a coaching change. So I think, you know, they had a lot. They got a lot to prove. And I think more so than the Capitals. I think a lot of the so-called experts, doing the air quotes again, are counting the Bruins out this year because – they're also something of an aging team. So I think they had something of a chip on their shoulder, and they showed it, and they were just more ready to play. So I think at end of the day, we just draw a line through this game. You want to start the season with a win, but I mean, can't win them all. And, you know, would a nice been get the W at the home opener, but, you know, just didn't happen. Nope. So we're going to move on to the next game, very next night, across the border, to Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena, and that was against the Maple Leafs, of course. So this game I want to kind of slow down and focus on a bit more. Boy, this one was – if you thought the start of the first game was bad, well, I mean
– it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but, I mean, if you scroll down – in the app and look at the shots on goal per period, and you look at what was done in the first period.
Oh yeah. That definitely stands out. And, yes.
And you saw, right. And you match that up with what you saw in the game.
Right.
You gotta be thinking, well, Cap should be down on their knees, thanking their lucky stars that they had a lead after the first period.
Correct.
So
yeah, 11 for 20 and 21. That's not, well, it's that, and then this is the second game where we haven't done anything with power play.
Yeah, it was a back-to-back.
Very frustrating. Again,
yeah, well, yeah, let's jump to that. So they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 power play chances, and nothing, absolutely nothing.
Four against Boston and 5 the next night. It's like, come on, what the hell? Yeah.
0-for-9 on what is supposed to be your dominant, your best, you know, what is supposed to have been the best power play on average, at least on
right
in the last few seasons. And yeah, 2 games, 9 chances, 0-for-9, nothing to show for it. Look, they've been banging the drum to fire Forsyth for forever. I'm not gonna beat that dead horse. Everybody knows how I feel about that. I don't know that that's going to be the remedy. I think they just need. Well, it came down to what Coach Laviolette said at the end: execution. You know, they did at times they did everything right. It's just that, but at the same time, they just also seemed too hesitant to get the puck on net. And look, I mean, I'm going to force the issue here. I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
I think when it comes down to everything, the Caps just don't look the same.
Agreed.
Without Tommy.
Yep.
He's
huge,
the difference maker.
Hole. Yep, I agree.
He's the difference maker.
I
said this, and look, I am not as down on Connor Brown as I once was. I'll admit that. Mm-hmm. I think he, both games he put out a hell of an effort. I will not question that. I don't think he got on the score sheet, but you know, I'm not gonna, well, let's see here. Let's go over the goals. Let's see. Dowd and Johansson. Okay, so I don't think, he didn't get on the score sheet in this game. I don't think he got on it in game 1 either. But I'm not going to question his effort. That's for sure. He did go after loose pucks. He was, you know, there along the board. So not bad. But like I said last episode, he's not Tom Wilson. And
no.
When you have a Tom Wilson out there throwing his weight around, making room, creating chances, it makes the difference.
It does. And I think I'm always going to defend my Tommy, but I don't feel like I need to as much anymore because people are finally jumping on the 43 bandwagon as they should. But he's not just the physical force on the ice. We have seen him mature over the last two seasons to be a rather smart, smart hockey player on the ice, which I love, but also a leader. So I feel like, that is a huge hole that they're missing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do have a few younger guys on the team that, you know, maybe they're not used to the amped up pressure. I'm looking at you, Alexei Protas.
Right.
Or I still think he's a bit too tentative. I still think he doesn't quite have that killer instinct developed yet. He still looked a little, and on top of that, you know, and I know of somebody that's going to appreciate this who's listening, Cherilyn Forster, C4. I think Kuznetsov, unfortunately, he's gone back to thinking too much and being hesitant.
Or Kuzi has.
Both of them. But Kuzi more than usual now. And, you know, Kuzi, now that he has the majority of the number one center duties, of course, that, as I hear, has actually changed recently. More on that in a little bit. But, yeah, I think he's feeling it. He's feeling that a little bit. And I don't know. He just, especially on the power play, I think he just thought he had to do more. He had to force things more. And it's just, I don't know. It just wasn't a good look overall. And yeah, I don't know. I think the Caps just needed more time. I think that if they had one more week of training camp or preseason, I think they just needed more time to get ready. Cause this is a team that just does not look 100% ready to me right now.
Well, I think I said this in our chat, I think with Robbie, that I'm, you know, from day one, I've always said it really, a lot of this team comes down to chemistry, and we're not there yet. I still think it's too early to say, you know, but I think from watching the last two games, you had two different goalies, two new goalies, just not quite seeing the chemistry yet. And I'm going to keep saying yet because we're only two games in. I think we're going to see a different game tonight, to be honest. I think having to play back to back was a lot. Having to travel, you know, not that I'm not making excuses. I never will. Cause I'm like, for what they get paid, I don't care, you know, suck it up. But I do think how sitting back and watching the two games and where the holes were and what needed to be tightened up and who needed to step up was definitely a discussion in the locker room, maybe on the plane ride, maybe in the locker room right now. so that's good. So, you know, get this out. So we're not like halfway through the season saying that we're still trying to tighten the lines and find the chemistry. No, find it now.
Very, very true. All good points. And yeah, so to kind of summate all of that, I think that's the way to go. Basically, if you know, not to put a bow on it, but yeah, basically what Anna's saying is, look, look, I know you are out there. You Caps fans who are already panicking, I know you're out there. I can tell because I see you people on social media. There are a lot of you out there already ready to throw in the towel on this season. Don't.
It's game two of 80 plus games.
Right.
Stop it. Like if we were honestly, if we were 42, 52 and people are like, bah, this game, we can't get a goalie. We can't do this. All right. Yeah. Come on the show. Let's talk about it. Let's debate it or let's agree with it or give our coaching advice that no one cares about. Great. But we're game two. two. That's all I'm going to say. Game flipping two.
Right.
So.
No. So, and I, you know what? I'm going to join you in that. And I'm going to say, look, it's a little too early. I mean, I've got some observations of my own. I'm going to go over real fast here. But yeah, I'm with you, Anna. It is way too early to make a judgment. Yeah. Now that said, there are some things that definitely need to be tweaked. Mm-hmm. Definitely need fixing here, especially the power play. I mean, that goes without saying, but
the power play and the faceoff.
The power play, the faceoff percentage was, yeah, ka-ka. So the app, okay, game one, let's see. That was, let's see, and bring that
37%.
Up. 37% win percentage at the faceoff dot against Boston. Yeah, no bueno. Against Toronto, not much better, 46-4. And as you heard my wife just say, yeah, that sucks. Especially against a team like Toronto, who when they get the puck and keep the puck, they do bad things to you with the puck. Right. Especially when they get not 5, not 10, not 15, not 20, but blackjack 21 shots on goal on your backup goalie in the first period.
Right.
Thank God for Chucky. He got all but one. I'm going to spend a minute defending him. There were some that said that the winning goal that he gave up, Matthews got in. I mean, first of all, it's Austin frickin' Matthews. Okay. He won the Rocket Richard for a reason. He is a sniper. All right. That's a one in a million shot that only a guy like him, and Ovechkin and superstar snipers who are trained to do that can do. It was a shot about neck high. It handcuffed the goalie. Put something in your hand, put something in one hand and carry it around for about 2 hours that weighs about 1 or 2 ounces. Okay. And then try, if somebody throws something at you, see how well you do with blocking it or swatting it away or keeping it out, especially if it's right around your head. So I'm not going to call this a soft goal. Could he have had it? Yeah, maybe a little bit better timing, a tiny bit better positioning. But again, it's Austin freaking Matthews. Say what you want about him and the Leafs. The man is a sniper. He is a skilled goal scorer. He put the puck exactly where it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call that a soft goal. And if that's what it's going to take to beat the Caps, then so be it. It just happened to be the second loss. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault Charlie Lindgren on that. I think he played a hell of a game besides 36 of 39, you know, and one of them was a power play goal. What are you going to do? They let Tavares in on the back door. I mean, he's going to bury those every time. I'm sorry. So overall, I think other than, you know, the defense being way too leaky, way too many shots given up, not a bad game. I think Lindgren showed definitely what he's worth. I think that's, some are saying already, that's probably the best value contract we've got. And I, at this point, I wouldn't disagree. If we get more of that out of him and we can get 30 plus games out of him this season and not so that Kemper doesn't get worn out, I think that'll be great.
So you think he'll play tonight?
He might, but I think coach is going to want to get Kemper some more time. Let Kemper get the start, get his legs under him a little bit more. It's Montreal. I don't think they're as bad a team as they were last year, but I'm confident the Caps should get the win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like I hate to throw more horse racing analogies in there, but it's like a horse that hasn't won in a while. You drop them against lesser horses to give them a chance to win, let them know how it feels like to be the front runner. And I think that's what they're going to do with Kemper tonight.
Okay.
So
I think that sounds, yeah, no, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. And okay, so I mentioned that the coaching staff is not staying idle. So there's actually an article from NovaCapsFans.com. Great website if you want to stay up with the team and the latest moves and all that. Probably one of the best out there. I highly recommend it. I think it's up there along with Japers Rink. Okay, so the article in question mentioned that the coaching staff has decided to make some moves with the line. In particular, Dylan Strome will be moving up to center the top line. TJ Oshie will be moving up to the second line.
Mm-hmm.
So the lines are actually going to look like this. Strome is going to center Ovechkin on the left, Brown on the right. Kuznetsov is going to center Mantha on the left, Oshie on the right. Lars Eller will center Marcus Johansson and Alexei Protas, respectively. And the fourth line is also going to stay the same. Sherry on the left, Hathaway on the right, centered by Nick Dowd.
I like the idea of Brown and Strome on the same line.
Yeah, I think we man, and Anna, you and I mentioned this. There was some chemistry with Strome and Brown, so I like the fact that they're working together.
If I had to rate the lines like out of favorites, I'm yes one, yes two, then four, then three. There's something about the third line. I don't know honestly if it's Mojo that just he's like almost become my new or pick. Don't know why. Yes, I know he scored in the last game. Something about him I'm just not on board with still. So I have a hard time with that. I mean, yes, we all love Tiger, but like we said, Protas is like, all right, you know, chill out, step up, do what you're supposed to. And then Mojo, like, I don't know what it, I don't know, Gil, what it is about him, but I'm just with him.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you there. And yes, he did get one of the two goals, and it was actually a very good shot.
Yes, it was.
That scored. He got the classic seven-hole goal against an old friend of ours. And so I think he might have been the only one paying attention to the videotape sessions before the game. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, he does have a little bit of worth, but I would also kind of like and it would be very, very hard because Connor McMichael needs to play the center. I think that's we've already talked about this. He's the most comfortable in the center spot. So right. Unfortunately, that would mean you would have to sit Eller because Eller is also a natural center. I don't see why you couldn't try Eller though on the wing. Let you know, put two centers on that line, just in case there's, you know, something with the face-offs, you know, spell off, you know, the second and the first line, you know, give them a bit of energy. I don't see why that couldn't be done. I've never seen Eller be that uncomfortable playing the wing. Maybe a little bit of experimentation with that. Sit Mojo for a couple of games. Again, even though he scored, it's kind of strange to do so. But yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. Johansson just doesn't seem to be clicking. He doesn't seem comfortable. Doesn't seem to be clicking with the rest of the team. I would like to see what McMichael and Protas can do on the same line. I think they would bring a renewed energy, and I think Eller's got enough savvy to kind of steer them towards where they need to be and kind of direct the play. So okay. I would like to see that, but you know, as has been said, we're not the coaches. We're not paid to do so. We just got a podcast that we're doing. Okay, so Nova Caps goes on to go over the defensive pairing. No changes there. Fedivari babysitting John Carlson. Not going to waste time with that. No. Dmitry Orlov and Nick Jensen, the shutdown pair, is the middle pair.
Mm-hmm. I like Jensen now.
I like Jensen a lot. I think, unfortunately, he was kind of I think he was a little flat-footed on the power play goal, but other than that, I won't fault him. I think everybody was kind of flat that game. So,
yeah.
Again, we'll draw a line through that. Orlov, I don't think, is 100%. I don't think he's whatever was hurting him. I don't think he's really back into game shape yet, but it's going to take him a few games to get back. I think he still seems a little bit unsteady on his skates. He bobbled the puck a few times like the Orlov of old. But I think once he's had a few games under him, pardon me. He'll be back to his old form. And then you have the bottom pair, Gustafsson and TVR. Bit of a pleasant surprise there. I think Gustafsson's already got himself two assists. Al Kokin made a couple of great points after the Toronto game. Nobody's talking about him. They should. He's already got two assists. I like the way he moves the puck.
Okay.
So, and he's already proven his worth. Don't mind seeing more of him. Al Kokin also said that the power play, we've mentioned this already, and C4 is going to have, going to be really smiling ear to ear. But I wish I recorded this, but Al Kokin finally said what we've all been thinking for a long, long time now. They're just trying too hard, unfortunately. The top unit is to look for Ovechkin and feed it to him and expect him to get the shot, when what they should be doing is kind of, you know, leaving him as an option and everybody else be selfish.
Well, 100%. I mean, it's like we saw it in Boston and we saw it in Toronto. They have got his number, you know, no pun intended, but they know, we all know where he's going to be on the ice. So it's like, yeah, come on, like, stop already. You know, there's other players and other ways to go, because if we keep doing the same thing.
I totally get it. And it's annoying. It's more of the same. And I mean, what's the definition of insanity? You keep trying the same thing and you expect a different result. Well,
right.
That's hamster wheel.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Agree.
So, well, all right. So my final evaluation, just like Anna, not time to panic yet. It's just two games, but there are things that need to be adjusted. The coaching staff isn't asleep at the wheel. They already understand that, you know, this is not the team, pardon me, not the team that is, you know, capable of getting the results that it has been getting. So to shake things up, they've already answered that by tweaking the lines a bit. I think where they definitely need to tweak is the power play. If we don't see any changes in that, maybe not so much in personnel, but in approach,
right.
Then, I mean, what are they doing? But that's really where they need to make some sort of change somehow. But unfortunately, the biggest hole you're not going to fill, because it's impossible to fill. We already talked about this, but maybe they just need to adjust, you know, the pieces that they do have and put them in a better position. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm no expert and strategist. I just know that what they've got isn't working. So
yeah.
Maybe move the parts around a little bit and see if
change it up
somehow.
Somehow. Please. Yeah. I mean, again, like you said, you know, whether it's players or whatever it is, but something needs to change, because it's not working when it's 0-9. So,
yeah. Now, going back to the same Nova Caps article, apparently there were some tweaks to the power play. They mentioned that Dylan Strome is going to be moved to the half wall position. And I think that this is talking about the second unit. First unit. Strome on the half wall and Johansson on the goal line. I don't know about that. One of your slowest players covering the point, covering the opposite end of the point rather. But I like Oshie in the bumper position. He makes things happen. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Johansson on the goal line. I don't think that's going to improve things. I think they need to get. Him off there. We talked about Kuznetsov. He's actually now on the second unit. They've got Gustafsson on the second unit. So I kind of like that. I'm optimistic about that.
Okay.
Cause he's shown he can move the puck very well.
True.
That's going to be interesting. I think they should give the second unit maybe a little bit more time, but you know, we'll see.
No.
I don't know. They also go on to mention that for you stat heads out there, the expected goals is the metric is going to be an advanced stat to watch. So you stat heads, and we talked about this with our old friend Blake Allen from the Chirpin DMV podcast. The expected goals metric, keep an eye on that. Natural Stat Trick has that as one of their metrics, naturalstattrick.com. You want to look that up. But the article at novacaps.com also mentions that, keep your eye on that, because that's steadily going downward, because the Caps just aren't getting it done. Expected goals metric, just explain it briefly. Where they start their breakouts and how they move the puck and gain the zone, is how that statistic is computed, where the puck is located, how they move the puck from their defensive zone into the offensive zone. The average location of the puck is basically how that's calculated. So if that's going down, they need to change, you know, how they're attacking the zone, obviously. So that's something else that they're tweaking, obviously. I think with the change in personnel, they're looking to probably change their approach in that too. Maybe give Strom a bit of a chance to do what he does.
I have a liking to that kid. I think he may become one of my favorites this season.
Yeah, I think even though he hasn't hit the score sheet yet, I think you're going to like what you see, and I think the fact that the coaching staff has already shown confidence in him taking over the number one line is a very good sign. And I think he's just going to run with that. I think he's going to do a lot of good things with Brown on his right and Ovi on his left. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do a lot of good things. So, keep your eye on that. They're going to create a lot of chances. I think the coaching staff is going to give them, some love and some trust. And if they can go with that, unless they're horrible defensively, if they can just stick with that for a few games, I think that's going to pay a lot of dividends.
Agree.
Like I said, two games, no time to panic, but definitely stuff to work on. So as we mentioned, scheduled tonight is another home game. We're back at the friendly confines of Capital One against Les Canadiens de Montréal. 7 o'clock puck drop for that. Then they stay home. Next game is Monday against the Vancouver Canucks. 7 o'clock puck drop there as well. Then they're off for a couple of games. Next game is Thursday, back up in Canada in Ottawa against the Senators. 7 o'clock puck drop there. Canadian Tire Center, I believe, is their arena, unless they've changed the sponsor. Then back at home again on Saturday night against the Kings, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap One, and that'll finish out that week. So next week we're going to have four games to cover, have a bigger sample size to figure out if the tweaks have worked, and maybe hopefully they finally got the power play going, and we'll have more of an idea what we have. Hopefully the Caps come away with a win, if not several.
Let's hope so.
I don't think even if the Caps come away 0-4 in these next four, I still am not going to believe that it's time to panic, but it may be time to consider more drastic action, of course.
Agree. Then we will have been almost into two-digit games, and it's like, okay, enough's enough, and change things up. But let's see.
Maybe time for something like a players-only meeting. Maybe time for management to reevaluate the roster. Maybe something like that, at least on a preliminary basis, something like that. But definitely not time to panic yet. It's only two games. So, look, you out there in the woe-is-me crowd, stop it. Just don't. Okay.
There's a lot on the Commanders.
Yeah, they're exactly. There's a lot worse things to worry about. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine. They'll turn it around. Okay. So I think this is a good place to stop. Just wanted to make a quick mention here. We all kind of know that the economy isn't all that great right now. And I think, unfortunately, that's trickling down, as it were, to everybody at our level. And so this podcast, of course, you're listening for free. We do our best here, knocking ourselves out, entertaining and providing you relevant information to go on as Caps fans. But we do it for free. So I'm going to make a plea here for whatever you, the listener, if you really think, if you enjoy this podcast, I'm going to, after the bulk of the recording here, I'm going to provide a link, both on the show notes afterwards, to provide a link for ability to donate if you could. So we'd really appreciate that, because, everything's a lot of businesses are raising their prices, and the services that we have to keep this podcast going are no different. So if you, the listener, could help us out, we would really appreciate that. And so just wanted to put that out there. Don't like asking for that too much, so we don't. We don't do that, but just this once early in the season, if you guys out there could help us out, consider that. We'd really, really both appreciate it. So just wanted to put that out there as a programming note. So so unless anybody had anything else they wanted to add, Anna?
Nope, I'm all good.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna stop it here for now. Just keep calm and carry on, loyal listeners, is all I'm going to ask. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that if you have five ants who rent an apartment with another five ants, well, you know what you got? 10 ants. You
go ahead, finish it.
Noise here.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Blue Liner, back with you as I promised. Going to make this real quick. As I mentioned towards the end of this episode, we're looking to collect a few donations out of the kindness of you, our great listeners' hearts. Like I mentioned, getting hit a little hard with some production costs. Just want to go into a brief explanation of that. Our great distributor, Podbean, they have a free option, but as we're looking to get bigger, there's a cost for storage and production and holding on to all of our archived episodes and posting them. So there's an annual fee for that is going to be coming up here in a few months. So trying to get ahead of that fee. And also the method we use to record is a conferencing programming tool called, they started out as Uber Conference. They've now been bought out by Dialpad. So Dialpad is the owner of that software now, and they have a monthly fee for one of their better services. And so to keep the audio quality fairly decent, we try to, they do have a free option, but to keep the audio quality and the quality of the show overall at a higher standard, then I've opted to one of their middle tier pay services, which incurs a monthly fee. So we're trying to stay on top of that as well. So we appreciate your listening to the podcast and sticking with us. I love that you've been sticking with us. But we want to keep up the quality of the show. So if it's you have the means and you enjoy the show, a whole lot, really, I'm asking for your kindness to donate whatever you can. Doesn't matter how small or how large, we'll take it either way. The contact information, unfortunately, there's no page set up as yet. So go ahead and give me a contact at glhallowed@yahoo.com. That's my personal email. I have several electronic pay options set up. We can work something out, whatever works best for you. So again, that's glhallowed@yahoo.com. And contact me there and just leave me a note saying you wish to donate. I'll get back with you, and we will definitely work something out. Whatever you can do, again, Anna and I and the whole cast and crew would definitely appreciate it, so you can help keep us going, because we absolutely love doing this for you, but you know, it's starting to catch, the bills are starting to catch up. So if you can help us out again, that would be wonderful. So see you guys on the ice, and go Caps.